This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on your lunch hour. I can see you right now driving to lunch, driving to go see a new client, getting out and talking to somebody. You could do it today on this Wednesday. Have a good one. Kevin, I brought this up earlier this morning, and you said instantly, this is exactly the kind of content that I want to get into. 877-881-1053 as we turn our attention to the New England Patriots, who has the quarterback edge. Autoflex Leasing Fantech, 877-881-1053. The more capable quarterback is definitely Tom Brady, right?
No.
877-881-1053. I have a feeling that this is going to be split down the middle. Kevin, pardon the interruption, did have this kind of Dak or Brady conversation. This is what they went through.
In their last three games, Prescott has 9 touchdowns and 1,100 yards. Brady has 3 touchdowns and 760 yards. Brady's throwing a ball on the ground and sailing it over receivers. Only an idiot would take Tom Brady. I am an idiot. I am going to take Tom Brady because I cannot put him in the Rivers and Eli lumping yet. Can't.
You've left me way too much time. I say, of course I'm taking Tom Brady.
I understand.
And only a fool wouldn't. Not if you're projecting forward for the next few years. You're going to take Dak.
Yeah.
I mean, you might even take Dak by the time we get to the playoffs. But we're asking this question today.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, upright, ambulatory today, right?
Right.
Even if he's disappointed, as
good.
He says.
Doesn't look good lately. Right? Doesn't look good lately.
Tom.
Yes, I think
Golden
so.
Boy
I think
Brady.
So. I think so.
There you go, Kevin. Nobody believes in Dak. Nobody believes that Dak can be better than Tom Brady on a Sunday.
Great. Well, allow me to counterpoint what contemporary people watching sports have to say about this, and not people who checked out on their job 5 years ago. There's another sports station in town that does that. So let's go with what's happening right now, because the argument that I'm not projecting years down the road, neither am I. So let's go with just, I don't know, do you want to just go with this year? Okay, let's just go with this year. Who has a better completion percentage? Dak, by a lot. Who has more yards? Dak, by 500, excuse me. He's more than 4% completion points better. Who has a better yards per throw? Dak, by 2 whole yards. Who has more touchdowns? Dak, by 7. Here's one counterpoint for Tom Brady. He's got less interceptions. So, point for Brady. That's 1. Yay! Who's been sacked more? Tom Brady. Who's fumbled the ball more? Tom Brady. Who has a better quarterback rating? Dak Prescott. Boom, 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 boom. Just about every conceivable category you can come up with, Dak Prescott has been better than Tom Brady this year. I'm not projecting into the future because Dak Prescott is significantly younger than Tom Brady. And yes, I understand Tom Brady has won a whole bunch of Super Bowls. That is not lost on me. I'm just saying, right now, who is playing better as the quarterback this whole season? You're more than halfway done with the season. It's not like they just played 1 or 2 games. This is a track record this year, and Dak Prescott is better than Tom Brady in just about every single category. I say the same thing for this as I do for the Cowboys' knowledge of balance. Don't just go off of what used to be. Judge what's happening right now. And right now, Dak Prescott is a better quarterback than Tom Brady. That is a fact.
I want to point out who was NFC Offensive Player of the Week this week, and that goes to one Dak Prescott. He's won it twice this year. Tom Brady obviously has been edged by Lamar Jackson, Mahomes, and Deshaun Watson on multiple occasions this year, because those young quarterbacks that are coming into their own right now, they are the better quarterbacks at the position. Tom Brady has big game experience, Kevin. He has the guy in his corner that is going to set up the team for the best opportunity. I love Dak's ability. I love looking at paper and saying, I have the better quarterback in this game. Because I do believe that Dak Prescott right now is the better quarterback. And I think that if Bill Belichick had his option, he would take Dak instead of Brady in this game. He would be like, yes, give me the Dak Prescott. The tools are there. But because that combination, and Jason Garrett said it earlier today, there maybe Brady is maybe the best to ever walk on the field. And he said they might be the best combination, the two, best two we've ever seen. Because of that, you have to take Tom Brady. And I'm not saying you're foolish for not. And I'm not saying you're a fool that if you don't for believing in Dak Prescott, because I think
that hurts my feelings.
I think that you're a genius if you're believing in Dak Prescott. I love it. But because of the combination, because of the game plan that can be created, and somebody said earlier, hey, for Tom Brady, I'm going to take him because the Cowboys' defense is trash. And I really hope the Cowboys' defense steps in and says, there's no way that I'm going to let people talk about us or let Tom Brady run all over us like that. But on the other side, the New England defense is really good. They have Stephon Gilmore. They have the mastermind when it comes to creating a plan of how to stop what you do well. Now, Kevin, Jeff just told us yesterday, the Cowboys' running game, they have been exposed. People know what they're doing in the running game. While I think that Kellen Moore might be a genius in the passing game and what they're doing, I don't think he knows how to fix the run game right now. All people are doing is creating problems for the running game. They're not even creating solutions. They're creating problems for the Cowboys, and they can't get out of their own way. I heard Michael Lombardi on this morning with Sean and RJ. And when it comes down to this, you know, he was talking about the coaching edge. He said, he was asked, though, what do you think they're going to do to slow down the Cowboys wide receivers? And this is what he said.
I would think they're going to put Gilmore on their number two receiver, and then I think they're going to double Cooper. I think that's the way they'll play. I don't think they'll worry about the tight end situation as much as they'll take their chances with Cobb. As Belichick says to the team all the time, look, we can't double everybody, right? And I think that they'll force the ball and try to take Zeke away. The one thing you're going to lose the game is if Zeke gets going in a rhythm. Here's the key component of this game that people have to understand. The Cowboys, in the last two seasons, when they play 30 minutes or more of defense, they're 5-17. When they play less than 30 minutes of defense, they're 20-4. Why is that? Because the Cowboys are small on defense. The Cowboys rely on quickness. They rely on speed. They rely on their movement to make plays. And when they got to play and stand in the middle of the ring and they got to play 32, 33 minutes, they wear down. That's the essence of this game. And I think what you'll see from the Patriots is you'll see tempo. You'll see them control the football. You'll see them want to hold this ball 34 minutes and gives Dak less time with it.
I'm a huge fan of Michael Lombardi and what he sees from the GM seat or from that kind of seat up there. And I think you know, he worked with Bill Belichick long enough to know what his game plan is going to be. Worked with him at Cleveland, worked with him in New England. He's worked with him for a long time to know what they like to do to try and take away what you do best. And that sounds like, hey, the Cowboys offense running game, if it doesn't get going early, it could be a real problem for itself. And you can't have that. You can't have a running game be a big problem for itself. Now, a lot of people have been saying, hey, they feel like the Cowboys can go blow for blow with this team and they can score the points. I don't disagree, but I don't know if the Cowboys can change their game plan midstream. And the halftime adjustments of Bill Belichick are brilliant. He's done it so well. Last year, the halftime adjustments, Kevin, were, hey, let's go back to the run game so that we can establish the run again to set up for later on in the game. This year, the Cowboys have been pretty good in the third quarter. They've made pretty good halftime adjustments. Can they match the opposing coach? I think you have the quarterback that can implement the game, though. I think you do.
We had a wave of Cowboys support at the beginning, but a lot of people pushed back.
I want to add one more thing, Kevin. When it comes to playing in big games, this is a big game for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Is this a big game for the Patriots?
No.
This is just another game.
Exactly.
This is an opportunity for the Cowboys to step on a stage right now.
Yeah.
For Tom Brady walking out there, I don't think he's nervous.
No.
For Dak Prescott, I think there might be a little tightness, a little nervousness, especially in the cold weather, too. So that's one of my other concerns, is that how long does it take the Cowboys to get into a rhythm?
This is the most irrelevant game the Patriots play in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, and we've seen the Cowboys get on a... the Packers game, the Saints game, the way they've started, just kind of looks nervous. And when I was talking to Everson Walls about that, he was like, I think you might be onto something. You know, when you're a confident team, you walk out there and you say, catch us. And the Cowboys have not given anybody that opportunity, really, especially when it comes to good teams.
From the 214, you guys obsess over Dak's stats and gloss over the fact that the Cowboys are 6-4 and the Pats are what? 9-1. For the 925, you guys have lost your mind. Here's the thing about that, and it's very simple. Who scored more points this year? The Patriots have scored one more point than the Cowboys. Think about that. One over 10 games. So it's essentially a push. Points against, Patriots have given up 108, Cowboys have given up 197. That is a difference of 9 points per game. The Cowboys give up 9 points per game more than the Patriots do. So it's as simple as that. It's the defense, not the quarterback, that dictates which team has the better record. Let me put it to you like this. If the Cowboys had been the Patriots defense and were giving up 9 points less a game, you know what their record would be right now? 9-1. And if the Patriots...
10-0.
They'd still be 9-1.
Oh, okay, fine.
So if the Patriots were the Cowboys defense and they gave up 9 points more a game, they would be 7-3. It is as simple as that. The record pivots off of the defense. That has nothing to do, well, not nothing. That more often than not has little to do with the quarterback.
So you're saying that Mike Bacsik is right when he says that the only stat that matters is how many points you scored and how many points you didn't score?
Yes, I hate the statistic that people throw out as, well, actually, they're third in total defense. What an idiotic statistic that is. The only statistic that matters is points for and against. Well, I don't know. The Patriots are, like, people would always say through the years, the Patriots are 10th in total defense. No, they're not. They would be first in points allowed. That's what I care about. Do you really care in this game if the Cowboys give up 500 yards and 10 points? No! You're not going to be like, oh, the defense really looked crappy. You're going to be like, no, they gave up 10 points.
I love 469. Patriots defense has scored half of their total points.
Yes, exactly. I've factored that out.
That's why Patriots, you can't turn over the ball.
The Patriots defense has like 5 touchdowns this year. So I forgot to even factor that in. There was a string. We just talked about this a couple weeks ago.
You got to be good in all three phases, Kevin.
Yeah, well, we're not good in special teams either. We'll get to that later.
Oh, no.
All right, there was a string a couple of games ago where in the span of 3 games, the Patriots defense would have lost the game 42-35 if they never took one single offensive snap. So don't tell me that it's the Patriots offense that has gotten them anywhere. That's preposterous. So for everyone who just keeps saying the only stat that counts is wins or losses, I agree. Would I rather be 9-1? Duh. But the point is, who's an MVP candidate right now and who's not? Tom Brady ain't an MVP candidate. Dak Prescott is an MVP candidate because he's been playing better. Would I swap records with the Patriots? Of course I would. But I wouldn't swap offenses with the Patriots.
From the 214, we need to expose them with Dak's legs like Lamar Jackson did. I question changing your offense that much, but I do love the idea of adding the right kinds of runs against their defense. When you see this, you know that you can run for this many yards. I don't want him to be running just because. I want him to run for big chunks of yards whenever it's necessary. I don't need him running because he's being pressured in the pocket. I need him running because everything else is downfield and I can get 30 yards on this run. I love that idea, but you got to realize Dak is not Lamar Jackson.
Nobody is.
He is a very different and unique quarterback, and that's the great thing about the two different styles of athleticism. Dak can get you some tough yards, but he's not going to pull that spin move on anybody and get you the extra 20 out of it because that they're two different kinds of quarterbacks. I love the idea of him using his legs when he can to expose them, but what Dak's doing best, clean pocket, see downfield, strike big.
The 817. Would you rather have the league MVP or the Super Bowl? I don't care if we'd never win another league MVP in the history of the franchise if we keep racking up Super Bowls 100%. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Mickey Spagnola right here in your home of the Dallas Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Going to be at the Eagles Nest tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you out there. Shippy and I on Sunday for the game, 3:25 kickoff. We will be at the Shark Club on Sunday. Shippy and I will be partying with you, so come party with us because I like to party. Yeah, well, it's the regular Shark Club, Shippy, but okay. I'm still looking forward to being there for that.
Should be their daycare.
But right now we have Mickey Spagnola brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. Mickey, how's it going today, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Excited. We've been kind of getting ramped up here a little bit because of the excitement for the opponent.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the questions I asked Kevin a minute ago, though, is something that's kind of concerning me. Do you think that this is as big of a game for the Patriots as it is for the Cowboys?
Oh, I think just because it's the Cowboys, it's a big game for the Patriots. I think any time the Cowboys come to town, it kind of raises the hairs on the back of people's necks. And doesn't matter what their record is, it's still the Cowboys. And I would imagine that, you know, for all the years that Belichick had been with the Giants, he probably, you know, it was a pretty good rivalry back then with the Cowboys and the Giants during those years. So, yeah, I would imagine he's got them fired up for this game. And you could just tell the way he's talking, right? And it's probably no different that he does every week. But, you know, the Cowboys have the greatest quarterback and the greatest running back and the greatest offensive line, and you know, everything else is so great. And so he's making sure his team hears all that so they don't think, oh, this team's only 6-4 coming in here. We're 9-1. No problem. So, yeah, I'm sure he'll have everyone out there jacked up for this game.
My only issue with that is when they were going to play the Redskins, he talked about how all three of their potential quarterbacks provided danger to the team.
Well,
and so I was like, okay.
But at least these guys will be aware of what Dak's been doing and the fact that for the second time this year he's been named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. That'll get a team's attention. The other thing that'll give them get their attention is, you know, they probably very proud that they're number one defense in the league, and now they're going up against the number one offense in the league. And they're going to want to qualify their ranking or rating, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah. And you know what, I was talking with the guys this morning about, I had heard that the ticket price for this game is pretty high, and some service anyway said it's the highest one of the week,
of the season,
$719. Were you guys telling me that? I couldn't remember who
We hit that yesterday. Sometimes people got to catch up with us, Mickey.
Yeah. I was listening to you. So I was trying to repeat it, but I couldn't remember, you know, where I heard it, but yeah, you guys found
probably
that.
Us.
Yeah.
Most of the
and
time.
And I think the price
us.
Has gone up too, by the way.
That doesn't surprise me. Well, let me ask you something then, because I feel pretty strongly about this, and I got shouted down by certain contingent that happens, not by Corey. He kind of supported me. I understand the history of everything he's done and everything like that. But right now, for this season, would you rather have Dak or Tom Brady as your quarterback?
Well, right now, the way they're playing, you know, I would rather have the Cowboys offense.
Okay.
How about that?
Because, come on, Mickey.
Well, he's part of it, right?
That's true.
And, you know, but you know what? The surprising thing is the Cowboys have scored 286 points so far in 10 games, so I guess that's an easy 28.6 a game. The Patriots have scored 287.
The only thing we pointed out about that is
six defense or return touchdowns.
Exactly. Yes. I knew at least 35 of those points were defensive.
They've got six that are returned. So, yeah, that certainly helps out. But it counts, right?
Sure.
So from a scoring standpoint, both teams are equal in what they've produced so far.
How imperative from that perspective, I'm sure you can argue this in a lot of games, but especially against a team like the Patriots, how imperative is it that you do not give up a non-offensive score?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Not just a score, but a possession, right? Can't turn the ball over against them because you give them a short field and they'll figure out how to get the ball into the end zone. So, yeah, you got to go up there and play a clean game if you're going to go up and beat this team. That's got 9 wins so far. And I get it. They haven't really played too many top-notch teams. I think only 2 with a winning record, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Buffalo and Baltimore.
Yep.
The Bees, right? This is a good test, and a good test for the Cowboys since, you know, they haven't won up there since 1987. Now, they don't play all that much. But it was back then they were playing at Sullivan Stadium, by the way, and it's almost 32 years to a day. It was November 15th of 87, and the Cowboys won in overtime.
Ed Sullivan Stadium.
That's not what he said.
I'm surprised you know who Ed Sullivan is.
I just remember it from was it Bye Bye Birdie, the musical? Back to the Cowboys.
Were you prepared for all of that, Mickey?
Yeah, no, I thought he knew who Ed Sullivan really was.
One of the things that Bill Belichick's always done is said, you know, we're willing to let this guy do a lot of things, but we're not going to let these certain things beat us. And Michael Lombardi said he feels like they're going to double team Amari Cooper and put Stephon Gilmore on Michael Gallup. Do you see that what the Patriots like to do whenever they have star receivers and this kind of passing game?
Well, the way they played Philadelphia, they were basically singling up all the wide receivers. And so I don't know if they'll try to do that with Amari. Are you going to try to take him out? Which is an old philosophy on defensive football. You know, you double the best guy and then take your best corner and put him on the other guy, which is what, and I don't mean to digress here, but what San Francisco tried to do with the Cowboys in that 94 NFC title game. Mm. They were going to double Michael and put Deion on Elvin Harper. And after the Cowboys got off to their 21-0 deficit because they turned the ball over their first 3 possessions in that game, all of a sudden Michael Irvin awoke, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like he was beating the double team. So they said, well, second half, screw that. We're putting Deion on Michael. And he still couldn't stop.
And there was a pass interference at the end of that game
absolutely.
That wasn't called, Mickey.
Yes, and they would have scored and been within, I think, 3 points had they scored that touchdown. And I bet they would have won the game, too,
yep,
by the way.
I agree.
So anyway, but that is a philosophy. You know, double the best guy and put your best corner on the other guy and try to stop him. But then you got Randall Cobb and you have the Cowboys running backs. So if you look at how they've been playing defensively, they just got linebackers scattered all over the formation. And I think from what I saw against Philadelphia, I don't think Philadelphia could figure out who to block and who was going to drop in coverage because they basically play with 2 down defensive linemen, sometimes just 1, and everybody else up front's a linebacker. And I was telling the guys this morning, it's like a fire drill. They're zipping in and out and around and under, and it seemed to confuse what Philadelphia was trying to do offensively. So, you know, maybe they cover it that way. But again, if that's what they want to do and they're going to have those linebackers on the line of scrimmage, if the Cowboys can figure out who to block, you ought to have an advantage running against them because I've got 320-pound guys blocking 250, and you got to make that work. So to me, while, you know, the Cowboys are, you know, the offense and 444 yards last week passing, you know, you almost got to pound these guys and make them pay for playing all of these kind of undersized athletic guys that are they're awfully good. But again, if it comes to one-on-one blocking, well, those offensive linemen, if they can figure out who to hit, need to hit them. And again, they're so quick, you know, maybe you can't, but they ended up sacking, I think, Wentz five times, and the Eagles offense was just a mess in that game. So the Cowboys, I think, if they can run the ball a heck of a lot on them, maybe they pay for whatever coverage they put on the wide receivers.
Yeah, the and the Cowboys, I mean, they've kept Dak upright a lot this year. I mean, 12 sacks only so far this season. That's really nice to see.
That's remarkable.
Their pass protection has been one of the things that makes it look easy.
Especially since they gave up 56 sacks last year.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah.
So that makes it look really good right now.
Yeah, and it helps, too, that guys are getting open. He can get the ball to guys. He's not waiting all day for routes to open up to throw the ball, and the offensive line has played better. But, you know, like today now, you know, with, Connor Williams out, so you got a backup at left guard with Lael Collins out, and I think he'll be limited later in the week and then probably play, but he's not practicing today. And then they're limiting what Zach Martin is. So three-fifths of your offensive line at portions in practice are backups. And that doesn't make you feel real good.
Mickey, you got a chance, and you were talking about Michael Irvin earlier, to witness one of the greatest hype men and heartbeats of a football team. And we were kind of watching the Michael Bennett speech before the game, and he had a great message. I really liked it. Who do you think – who would be your – hype man for this team right now? Who's the guy
right now,
or maybe even just this game, because it seems like it changes on a week-to-week basis?
Yeah, and it has. And you know, Zeke has done it, Witten has done it, Sean Lee has performed that, I think DeMarcus Lawrence, so I think they kind of pass it around. I thought Zeke was pretty good, and I can't remember what he did, but it's just his emotion, his actions. You never know, you know, is he going to jump up and down? Is he going to fall on his knees? You know, what is he going to do? And you know, he's somewhat quiet. I don't know that he's real outspoken in the locker room, but I think when a guy like that speaks up and gets really emotional, I think that makes a difference, if it makes a difference getting ready for the game. I would imagine, though, after about a couple of possessions, that stuff all wears off.
I'm not calling for it in this moment. I am curious, though, if push came to shove, do you think you could deliver a hype speech?
I could deliver a hype speech? Yeah, I don't know about that. I probably could, but I'm probably get swallowed in by such big guys, they might not be able to hear me, right?
I mean, that is always a concern. We can put a sweet beat under it if you want to do that on Friday. You let us know. I'd be in on that.
Or put me up on a platform somewhere so they could hear. Yeah. No, I'm not doing that on the radio.
Well, it's worth. I don't know, Mickey.
It was a good try, though. Yeah,
it's worth a shot. Absolutely, worth a shot.
We always try to get Jerry to do crazy stuff. So you know, why not go after you too?
We have a few people that call into our podcast that want to give hype speeches on Friday Forum. Yeah, some of them end up being pretty good too. They're funny.
Thank you so much, Mickey. We appreciate it.
Oh, yes, one more.
Oh, real quick.
Hold on.
The next time we talk to you on Friday, we're doing a football power hour with Broadus, and he's going to be here to help us interview you. So we're looking forward to
y'all's
conversation.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
All right. See you guys.
Be good. I just wanted people to know that it's out there. So whenever we have the Mickey and Broadus talking back and forth, it's going to be be a lot of fun, man.
Well, for some reason, I saw the narrative that popped up that everyone demanded my thoughts on. I was like, I don't know. They think that they don't like each other.
No, so they work together. They admire each other very much.
And Broadus even said that, but people are like, did you hear what happened? And I was like, no, what happened? We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, from the mind of Corey, should the Mavericks make this big-time trade? 877-881-1053. Wildly speculated about who the player might be. We'll do it next right here on The Fam.
I love what Kendrick Perkins had to say about Luka. Actually, let's go ahead and play that cut right here, Kevin. Kendrick Perkins was talking about Luka Doncic, and he had this to say about his game.
You know who Luka remind me of?
He is a baby LeBron James minus the athleticism and the size. This is it. I mean, he can shoot the tray ball. This is what Luka is. He dominates a game. He does it all, just like a LeBron James. He has the IQ, and once he gets you on his shoulder on that side, he gets to the rack, he finishes well. He has a better three-point shot than LeBron, but he, minus the athleticism, he's a baby LeBron James in my eyes.
Luka Doncic has been exceptional this year, and the comparison to baby LeBron
is ridiculous.
Hold on, what do you mean ridiculous?
Like, I'm sorry.
He didn't say he's full-blown LeBron. He said baby LeBron.
I know that you like this quote, but I think that quote is stupid. He's like LeBron except for the two defining characteristics of LeBron. And just for the record, LeBron's a better three-point shooter than Luka. Just saying. But I hate that comment. Like, he's not as athletic as him or as big as him. Okay, well, those are like the two defining characteristics of LeBron.
Okay, what about some of the things that he does on the court? Who would you say he's more like then at the moment? More like Harden with the step back three?
No.
Is he unique in unto himself then? Is he a guy that is because of his, I don't know, his speed, his tempo? I think his tempo is smooth and fluid rather than, you know, powerful with Luka.
Yeah, because he's not powerful, and so I wouldn't relate him to Magic Johnson because I thought Magic Johnson, for his size, was really, really quick. That's an interesting question. Perhaps he is unique upon, and he does have a vast skill set. I just think that's a lazy comparison by him.
Dalton Trigg on Sports Illustrated posted this story and this suggestion. It is not my suggestion by any means. I did want to bring it to the forefront, though, because at the moment, the feeling is that the running partner, the running mate that you have in Kristaps Porzingis is your third guy. At best.
Okay.
He is not the guy. Now, I think we all have been very satisfied with the rebounding that's going on, but I think a lot of the rebounding in current day NBA is that, hey, we're going to battle on the offensive boards.
Sure.
I think the current rebounding is, hey, we're all shooting like 70-foot three-pointers.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of space to get rebounds because the ball, when it bounces off the back of the rim, Kevin, it goes far away. There's not a lot of work being done down by the basket. Which is one of the reasons you want a 7 foot three guy.
Sure.
Is, hey, we're down by the basket. Let's do some work. But that's not where he does his best work. That being said, he's getting his rebounds. He's blocking some shots. The Mavericks are able to come away with this style of basketball the way they like. Will they be able to add another guy that can be better? And what kind of player would be a fascinating addition to this team? Dalton Trigg suggests swing for the fences and get Detroit Pistons star forward Blake Griffin. 877-881-1053. Is that a move you believe that would make this team a legitimate contender? Because you're at a point now, Kevin, where you're looking at this team and you can say, okay, we can go to the playoffs and get washed by somebody in the first round.
Right.
Or we can go to the which I've said many times, that is a learning moment.
And I agree with that 100%.
Or you can go to the playoffs and make some noise.
I think that that team makes noise in the playoffs. And I guess if you get to the second round of the playoffs and there's only 8 teams left in the NBA, I guess that automatically makes you a contender. So, yeah, no, I would argue that does make you a contender. A couple things that it doesn't address. It does not address your defensive inabilities at the moment. It would help with the rebounding to a certain extent. Like, Blake Griffin is not the rebounding machine he was the first couple of years in the league, but he's a solid enough rebounder, especially given how much that he can provide for you offensively. So I think I would appreciate that. By the way, Blake Griffin last year was a third-team All-NBA player while languishing in Detroit. So, yeah, no, I would support this move, but what's it going to cost me?
He played 75 games in Detroit last year. Did he just make a couple starts recently? Because he was sitting with a knee injury and everything. So hopefully he can be healthy enough to go along with it. All right, what's it going to cost you? Well, Kevin, you're one of my favorite segments we've always done. A lot of people already are saying that Blake Griffin's trash. He's never healthy in the playoffs, and they have a problem with that.
Oh, just real quick, to be fair, for the people who say Blake Griffin is trash, Blake Griffin was third team All-NBA last year alongside LeBron, Rudy Gobert, Russell Westbrook, and Kemba Walker.
25, 8, and 5 assists per game last year.
Yeah, don't tell me that he's trash. That is completely unfair. In case you didn't notice, He reinvented himself last year, or maybe the last year and a half. It looked like his career was going down and he was done, but he bounced back.
I love some of the suggestions that are coming in on the Autoflex Leasing fan text, 877-881-1053. They're really good. We're going to get to them in a moment. All right. One of the segments I've always loved that we do is the anatomy of a trade. And Kevin, you brought this up, and I think a lot of people really started learning why you find trade targets, because it's always fun to be like, hey, trade with that team over there. They have a good player. Let's get him.
Sure.
Well, but they need a reason to move on from one of their great players. The Mariners, whenever they moved on from Cliff Lee, they needed to reboot their program. They needed to restart. And with the Detroit Pistons, I think they're, 4-9 through 13 games?
Exactly, because somebody recommended Marcus Smart. There's just no reason for that move to take place, because why would the Celtics want to do that? Like, look, I'm all about picking up Marcus Smart, but why in the world would that move go down for a team that has their own championship aspirations? They're definitely not going to want to move off of Marcus Smart. Whereas the Pistons, they might be like, well, hell yeah, let's do that.
You know, one thing Dalton Triggs suggested was staying away. And I agree, from like a Chris Paul type move, don't go do something like that. And a lot of other suggestions coming in. But I think that Griffin is one of those guys that whenever he goes to a team, his teammates seem to like him. You haven't seen him be on a team where his teammates are like, hey, I don't like that guy at all. So they seem to center around him. They think he's a high character guy that they'd like to stick with. Now, here's what it might cost you, according to Dalton Trigg. And he says he's going to turn 31 years old in March. He's making $34 million this year, 37 in the 20 and 21 seasons, 39 in the 2021-2022 season. So he's not getting younger. He's going to be making a lot more money later down the road. But the Pistons aren't going anywhere anytime soon. But they need to decide if they're going to blow things up and rebuild. So if you're rebuilding, what do you want to rebuild with? A point guard?
Yep.
Maybe
draft picks.
All right, so here you go. The Mavericks get Blake Griffin.
Okay.
That's it.
That's fine.
They trade away Tim Hardaway Jr.
Sure.
Dwight Powell.
Okay.
A 2020 second round pick, okay. A 2025 first round pick, top five protected. Okay. And by the way, the 2020 pick is the best of the Houston or Golden State picks.
Okay.
In which the Golden State pick might be really nice. And Jalen Brunson.
Deal. Oh my God, I would do that in a heartbeat. So essentially, you're trading away Powell, Brunson, and a first round pick.
Shippy, do you love Brunson enough to not go get Blake Griffin?
No.
Okay, there you go. Nah. Shippy approves.
Everybody keeps talking about how Dwight Powell is going to be this guy and that guy, and he's going to do this and that. And
he's not proven that he can.
Is Dwight Powell like 1 year younger than Blake Griffin? Like, let's not pretend, or like a year and a half younger than Blake Griffin.
Isn't Blake Griffin Dwight Powell on steroids?
Yes.
I mean, legitimately on steroids.
Wow, that's a fascinating way to look at that. But yeah,
player.
I keep waiting for Dwight Powell to be better than he is, and like, he's fine, and that's okay to have a player that's just fine, but let's face it, Dwight Powell is fine. Jalen Brunson, I think he has more potential, but at this moment, he's still just fine. He's a point guard who doesn't pass the ball a ton, so he's just fine right now. So you're trading Powell, who you have a lot of Dwight Powells on your roster. Let's face it, like, you have a lot of 100 to 200 caliber NBA players. I would argue that the Mavericks have what, like 8 to 10 of those. Jalen Brunson, same thing, falls in that same category, and you don't usually use your first-round draft pick outside of the year that you tanked everything to go get Luka. So I would argue that you take three pieces that you don't use a ton, and you pick up Blake Griffin. For the people, I saw some people bringing up Jamal Crawford, but that's the thing. It's like, you're not trying to add another fringe player to the team. You're shooting big and trying to pick up a legitimately top-level player.
From the 214, they need to add someone like Tyson Chandler from the 11 run. That, okay. I think Blake Griffin would be the guy.
There's another person, if you're looking for that person, who comes off the same team, is Andre Drummond.
Yep.
Now, Andre Drummond would solve all of your rebounding disabilities immediately. The issue with that is, with Andre Drummond, I think the Pistons would look at it from the perspective of, we can build around Andre Drummond going forward. I don't think the Pistons view we can build around Blake Griffin going forward. And that is another element of why that trade would work. All right. You want to go after Jamal Crawford? Not good enough. You want to go after Marcus Smart? I don't see any reason the Celtics would make that deal. You want to go after Andre Drummond? I'm all about that. But again, I don't know if the Pistons would view that as a viable option. However, with Blake Griffin, you're looking at somebody who's four and a half years older than Andre Drummond. And so they're like, we're less likely to build around him and we're not going to be good for a couple more years. So if you'll give us a couple of draft picks and a couple of players, one medium age, one young age that we can do something with, that's not a bad package. That makes sense to me.
From the 214, I don't mind the trades, but no picks. And you look at the look currently, Kevin, look at the Golden State Warriors. They're in tank mode because they kept, you know, moving on. We're fine. We're good. They're in tank mode because their team is not good. They don't have the health that they need to have. Can they utilize picks? Can they be able to do that? The Mavericks, how many first round picks do they have in the future?
Yeah, I think they only have 22 and 24, and so you're only allowed to trade in off number years from where you did trade.
So you're at a point now where you have to rely on what you have and anything you can add via trade. I understand the feeling of not having a 2025 pick, but I guess the mindset is you have that guy, you have the golden goose already with Luka. Now you have to figure out how to add the pieces around him. And a trade like this might be the best option.
And remember, Blake Griffin does stand-up comedy, so mm-hmm. You can go check him out at the Improv.
At the Addison Improv.
Or the Hyena. Yeah.
So I want to throw out a couple more people's suggestions. Man, I really hope that the Bucks are terrible by the trade deadline so we can sell it all to get Giannis. I want to go ahead and get you to focus on somebody else now because the Bucks are 10-3, and Giannis is the best player in the league. So I don't care if they were 1-15. There's no way that would happen. What about Draymond?
Hold on, what do you need to prepare? If that money is there, do you need to prepare for the opportunity to get Giannis, though?
Personally,
if you don't have that money with Blake Griffin because you're paying Blake Griffin, we didn't have a shot to get the guy?
Personally, I wouldn't, because I just don't see the appeal for him to come here without it, because right now you have a 1-3. But if you loaded up another Blake Griffin and showed that you could win, then that might change. If the money's all equal, there's no way he's coming here. Couple of more suggestions. Bradley Beal, CJ freaking McCollum, and Draymond Green. All right. So the issue you're going to run in with CJ McCollum is exactly the same as Marcus Smart with the Celtics. Like, I know the Trailblazers are struggling now, but they don't think that's a long-term thing. So I don't think that they're going to move off of McCollum. Now, Beal is a different story. We talked about him last year, and I was all about making a move for Bradley Beal because the Wizards absolutely suck. And the idea coming out from the Wizards is that they were not interested in moving on from Bradley Beal. So, I mean, I would probably argue that that's not viable, but I would be all about making that move for Bradley Beal.
All right, then. Let's go ahead and make those moves happen, Kevin.
Okay, I don't think you can get Beal and Griffin, but, you know.
Shippy, do you think we can do that?
Okay.
I mean, what do you think?
I think we can do anything if we put our minds to it. That's what my mom told me.
My grandma used to tell me all the time, Corey, you can be as happy as you want to be.
Yeah.
Just remember, trying is the first step towards failure.
Trying is the first step towards success, Kevin. Okay. Failure is the second step towards success.
Do or do not.
What?
There is no try.
What?
There isn't.
I mean, that's fair. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Witten says this game is a defining moment for the Cowboys. What will their definition be after Sunday? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.